is Heather Feist. We're going to play the Bach, J. Hutch Bach's Air for the G String.
Good morning. We welcome you to the worship experience of the Plymouth Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, in the beautiful city of Syracuse, New York. Know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here in this place, wherever you may be this morning. We are so glad that you are here with us. And know that if you are visiting for the first time or the 1,000th time, we are delighted by your presence. Regardless of who you love, regardless of your gender, your skin color, ethnicity, migrant status, physical ability. If you're single, married, or it's just complicated, we want you to know at Plymouth that you are welcome. So welcome one, welcome all to Plymouth Church, and let the people of God say amen. Beloved, following worship today, we want to invite you to a digital community time. This is a time for us to grow in relationship with each other. The deacons have posted the Zoom link for you, for your convenience, so you can join us immediately following Sunday worship for a time of conversation. Bring your coffee cup, or if you don't drink coffee, bring your bottle of water, or whatever makes you happy as we grow together in community. I'd also like to remind everyone about Let's Talk Thursdays. This takes place at 5:30, and we are journeying along with the Chautauqua Institution for this series, and we're hoping that you'll join us this coming Thursday at 5:30 p.m. for another refreshing, fulfilling, and rewarding conversation. Now, beloved, let us continue worshiping God through singing.
Please join us in the call to worship.
Brothers and sisters, the extravagant love of God has called us together.
For long before we were even aware of it, God knew us.
God had already chosen us to be part of the divine family, children of God.
And having chosen us, God called us.
And having called us, God justified us.
And having justified us, God gave us God's glory.
What extravagant love this is.
So come, let's worship God together.
Please pray with us.
We come to you, O God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
We seek to magnify you and to praise you as we ought.
We want to see Jesus, in whom all your fullness dwells.
We invoke your presence with us.
You are the giver of all we have, and our hope for now and hereafter.
May the memory of your goodness and the love you lavish on us through Jesus Christ fill our hearts with true gratitude and joy as we worship together today.
Amen.
Let us come together now and share God's love through the passing of the peace. You can type peace, hello, or your greetings in the comment section of Facebook. Let us all come together and pass the peace.
Good morning, everyone. I am so glad that you've joined us for worship today. I brought some pictures with me today that I want to show you. I am a child, and I am my mother's child. But not only am I my mom's child, I'm also my dad's child. But not only am I my mom and my dad's child, I'm also a child of my grandpa and my grandma and my other grandpa. And I'm a child of my other grandma. And I'm also a child of my great-grandma and other great-grandparents. And I'm also a child of my mother-in-law and father-in-law. I am so many people's child, and I have a unique and special relationship with each and every one of these people. And I'm also a child of God. Do you know, everybody is a child. Everybody has parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. People have step-parents, adopted parents, birth parents, godparents, so many kinds of parents, so many kinds of families, so many kinds of relationships. And everyone is a child of God. We are all a part of God's family. God has one great, big, growing, loving, complicated family. But you know what? No matter what, each of us is always welcome into God's family. So whether things are going really well and we're all getting along, or whether we're kind of angry and things are not going that well, and maybe sometimes we don't want to be a part of this family, we are all welcomed into the family, and God's family sticks together. God sticks with us. God loves us, because we belong to this family, no matter what. Will you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for making each of us a part of your loving, growing family. Thank you for welcoming us all the time, no matter what. And please help us to welcome and love others in your family as well, even when we're angry, even when we're tired. We pray these things in the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listen now for the Word of God from chapter 8 of the New Testament book known to us as Paul's Letter to the Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This is Jules Massenet's meditation from the opera Thais.
Thank you.
So this morning, beloved, I would like to share a message with you all entitled, Something to Hold On To. Something to Hold On To. For a text this morning, I want to lift up from our lesson the 18th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. And it reads as such, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Let us all pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. God, who is our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. So I was born into a pretty large family. On my mother's side, there were 6 sisters and brothers that my mother had and continued to have. On my father's side, my father had 11 siblings, some of which are here and some that are not anymore. And one day, my mother was spending time with her siblings. When she was over at one of their homes and they were all gathered, I could not have been any more than 1 year old. My mother asked her youngest brother, my uncle, to watch me while she stepped away for a second. My mother left me on the bed. And while I was left on the bed, and my uncle was watching over me, my uncle then too decided to step away. And there I was by myself on this bed. So, after my mother had stepped away and my uncle had stepped away, I thought maybe I too should try to step away. Being that I wasn't no more than probably about 1 year old, from when this story was, as this story was told to me, it was estimated that I was about 1 year old, and I started to crawl since I couldn't walk. So I crawled and I crawled. And I crawled, and eventually I got to the edge of the bed, and gravity, with her predictable clutches, pulled me down to the ground, or almost, so one might think. Because as I was making my descent, I managed to grab onto the sheet that was hanging off of the edge of the bed. And when my mother came back in the room to see what was going on, she was surprised to find out that her baby brother had left me alone, and there her newborn baby almost was hanging on to a sheet, clinging for dear life. The only way I was able to get through that experience was by having something to hold on to. And beloved, we are living in difficult times where we continue to get more bad news on top of more bad news. Faced with uncertainty in the midst of this biological pandemic. Faced with the difficulties and the challenges of not being in physical community the way we have been used to being in physical community. There's so much financial and economic uncertainty at this moment in time. And then there's all the violence and the fear and the oppression that we are witnessing. But Paul, in this text, reminds us that we have something to hold on to. something that will sustain us. And this text today, Paul's letter to the Romans that was read in your hearing earlier, points us to the direction of hope. We have hope. Hope that can sustain us. Hope that can fulfill us. Hope that can keep us. But beloved, the problem is, though, in these times that we live in, is that oftentimes we don't hold on to hope, but rather what we hold on to is optimism. And there is a difference. You see, optimism is when we just try to think positive and just anticipate and hope that life does not go into a particular direction. And then when things don't turn out how we expect, it can lead our souls to be fractured and make us want to give up. But Paul says here in this text, he reminds us that the one thing that we need to hold on to in the midst of difficult times is hope. So if you are not saying, Pastor Eric, that just being positive is not hope, then what is hope? Well, the text helps us today to understand what it means to be grounded in hope. So what is hope? Well, the first thing that the text shows us is that hope is endurance. Hope is endurance. Look at right here now in verse 18 where Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Paul reminds them that now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to quit. But now is the time to endure. Because what's on the other side of the difficulties of this moment, the moment they were experiencing when they were dealing with their own pandemic, will all the goodness that's on the way will outweigh the bad, will outweigh the struggles, will outweigh all of the suffering that they were going through. And beloved, if we just endure, on the other side of what we are dealing with right now is a world that's a whole lot more better, a new normal that can fill us with joy. That's on the other side of this. Now is not the time to give up. But beloved, also, hope is not just endurance, but hope is also expectation. Second part of this verse says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing. But that's because of the second part of the text. And that is the glory that he says is about to be revealed. And in these times that we live in that are so troubling, we are invited to continue to live with expectation. To expect that on the other side of this struggle, on the other side of the frustrations that exist in this moment, as we try to live through all of this, that on the other side of this, that we are actively marching and moving towards something that is far better. It's not just going back to how things just used to be and settling for how things used to be. But we are called to expect more and greater than what we did before. That the chapter on the other side of this that we are writing together, all of us are writing this chapter together, will outweigh and be much better, more bolder, beautiful than the world that we had before. Hope is expectation. But then thirdly, the text also shows us today that hope is not just enduring and expecting, but hope is perseverance. Last week we talked about perseverance, the call to persevere. And there is a difference between just enduring and persevering. In initial search of using technology to pull up a variety of definitions from the Oxford Dictionary, Cambridge Dictionary, and a variety of other sources, hope and endurance. Endurance is just stamina. When you endure, you continue to stand in the midst of what's coming your way. But when you persevere, perseverance is defined as continuous action. And when we get to verse number 22 of this text, Paul says that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains. And when you groan with labor pains, anybody will tell you that is there is active activity taking place to birth something new. So we are continuously, always continuing to not only just wait, but we are called to be active participants. And persevering in these times means that, for example, just because we don't have the type of community that we desire to be in with loved ones, that we can't go and form new relationships and community with others in new ways so that we might, on the other side of this, be able to expand our table, our global table with one another. Even now, with all of the economic uncertainty going on right now and the troubled times that are happening right now as a result of this moment, doesn't mean that we have to lose our sense of purpose, but rather on the other side of this, during this time as we wait and we persevere, we can discover new ways that our gifts can be used to make a difference in the world. Just because we can't use them in the way that we hope for right now, doesn't mean that our gifts are useless. When we partner with God, we can co-create a new reality for ourselves, for our community, and others that allows us to remain purposeful. For as long as we are here, we all have a purpose. So what are we called to do in this time? I'll sum it up all this morning by saying that I was reminded of a poem written by Alice Walker, who was the writer of The Color Purple. And she wrote a poem to a woman who had experienced the tragedies of the Iraqi war and what the folks in Iran were experiencing, in Iraq, was experiencing. And she wrote a poem, and the title of the poem is "Hope is a Woman Who Has Lost Her Fear." And it goes like this: "In our despair that justice is slow, we sit with heads bowed, wondering how, even whether, we will ever be healed. Perhaps it is a question only the ravaged, the violated, seriously ask. And is that not now almost all of us? But hope is on the way. As usual, hope is a woman herding her children around her. All she retains of who she was, as usual, except for her kids. She has lost almost everything. Hope is a woman who has lost her fear. Along with her home, her employment, her parents, her olive trees, her grapes, the peace of independence, the reassuring noises of ordinary neighbors. Hope rises, though. She always does. Do we fail to notice this in all the stories they've tried to suppress? Hope rises, and she puts on her same unfashionable threadbare cloak, and penniless, she flings herself against the cold, polished, protective chain mail of the very powerful, the very rich chain mail that mimics suspiciously silver coins and lizard scales. And all she has to fight with is the reality of what was done to her, to her country, her people, her children, her home. All she has as armor is what was learned must never be done, not in the name of war, and especially never in the name of peace. Hope is always the teacher with the toughest homework. And in this poem, all Alice Walker is saying is that even when this Iraqi woman lost it all, hope still was able to rise. She was able to rise because of hope. And even when this life may feel like it's taking it all away from us, we too are called to let hope rise. Hope that endures, hope that expects, hope that perseveres. So we can walk into a new normal together, in a normal that isn't unfamiliar, that leaves us wondering, where am I? But one that we can walk into together that's filled with joy. Let us hold on to hope, for that is something worth holding on to. Thanks be to God, and let the people of God say amen. Beloved, it is prayer time. This is a time of sharing, where we seek to connect with the divine that is above us and among us and within us, and the divine within our community and each other. So you are invited to share your prayer requests in the comment section of Facebook. You can also share your prayer requests with office at plymouthsyr.org, office@plymouthsyr.org. We invite you now to not only share your prayer requests and your concerns, but also your joys, the good things that have happened to you, because they might inspire someone who's sitting amongst you right now, maybe not physically, but virtually, who might have a concern on their heart. So let us share our requests right now in faith and hope, and may we share our joys to inspire, give praise, and offer thanks. Let us all gather ourselves now in an attitude of prayer. Let us pray. Loving, wondrous hand of the universe, we give thanks for the joys that exist among us, the joys that live and thrive among us. May it be a source of inspiration and hope that there is something on the other side of the Good Fridays, the crosses we have to endure daily. Let us remember that resurrection is possible, that even in the midst of all the bad that life throws our way and that we see in the world, that hope through hope, a brighter tomorrow is possible. We pray this prayer with thanksgiving as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, it is giving time. You can share your gifts via mail. You can also share your gifts via bill pay for contactless and recurring giving. You can also share your gifts right now through PayPal by sharing your gifts to the following address, giving@plymouthsyr.org, giving@plymouthsyr.org. If you have been blessed by this worship experience, or if you want to build and see a just world for all, we invite you now to give generously. Let us dedicate these gifts. Grow the gifts that have been given in your love, gracious God. Bless the offerings that are on the way. Bless our hearts and our hopes in your love, so that we might be able to do the work you have called us to do in the world. Fill these gifts in each of us with your goodness. Amen.
We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. Deep in my heart, we'll go hand in hand.
Beloved, we have come to the end of our worship service today. But then as we leave this place, as we click the X in the corner, as we go into a different room, possibly, or even if we stay at our computers or are going outside, that's when our real service begins. So hear these words for our benediction. May God bless you and may God keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire through the power of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.